Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
There's a lot of things in the Word of God that are tremendously important for us to know. And one of the most important things for us to know, we can actually learn by just looking around at the world and ourselves, but we're all going to die. But Scripture tells us there's two kinds of death. There's what we call natural death or biological death, and there's something called the second death that we'll get to in a few minutes. But natural death or biological death isn't natural. In the Book of Wisdom, God's Word says, God formed us to be imperishable. This is Wisdom chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. God formed us to be imperishable. The image of his own nature he made us. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who are allied with him experience it. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, sin entered the world through one man, Adam, cooperating with the devil, and death came into the world through sin, and death came to all people because all sinned. So natural death isn't natural. It's a punishment for sin. It's actually a divine judgment, and none of us can escape it. But what we can escape is the second death. Well, let's just take a little look at what happens when people realize that they're dying. Psalm 102. Yep, Psalm 102. Oh, Lord, listen to my prayer. Let my cry for help reach you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Turn your ear towards me and answer me quickly when I call. For my days are vanishing like smoke. My bones burn away like a fire. My heart is withered like the grass. I forget to eat my bread. I cry with all my strength, and my skin clings to my bones. The bread I eat is ashes. My drink is mingled with tears. In your anger, Lord, in your fury, you have lifted me up and thrown me down. My days are like a passing shadow, and I wither away like the grass. Well, that is our situation. Sometimes we experience it very acutely. There's people right now in the world who are experiencing literally what Psalm 102 is talking about. But eventually, we're all going to come to that point. Now, there's another passage in Scripture that talks about what conclusions people can draw about the fact that we're condemned to death, that we're dying, that nobody can escape it. Wisdom chapter 2 again, starting with verse 1. For not thinking rightly, they said among themselves, brief and troubled is our lifetime. There's no remedy for our dying, nor is anyone known to have come back from Hades. For by mere chance were we born, hereafter we shall be as though we had not been. Because the breath in our nostrils is smoke, and reason a spark from the beating of our hearts, basically saying that it's all brain, it's all biological, there's no immortal spirit. And when this is quenched, our body will be ashes, and our spirit will be poured abroad like empty air. Even our name will be forgotten in time, and no one will recall our deeds. So our life will pass away like the traces of a cloud, will be dispersed like a mist, pursued by the sun's rays and overpowered by its heat. For our lifetime is the passing of a shadow, and our dying cannot be deferred. They're right in some of their judgments about death being, can't be canceled. Death is going to happen. But some of their other conclusions about atheistic materialism, about the simply biological nature of the human person, the human brain, is wrong. They were not thinking rightly, like it says in verse 1. So here's the wrong conclusion from not thinking rightly. Come, therefore, let us enjoy the good things that are here, and make use of creation with youthful zest, the quest for youthfulness, you know, that tech millionaire, billionaire, whatever he is in Silicon Valley, that actually maybe he's in Texas. He's spending millions of dollars. He has 20 people working for him. He's measuring his vital functions all day long on different levels. He's taking his stem cell transfusions from his son, trying to keep his youth. I dread to see what his end is going to be like. I hope he wakes up before it's too late, that a man can't save himself, that we can't prolong human life beyond a certain point, and he's going to die, he's going to wither away, he's going to disintegrate just like everybody else, and then where will his soul be? Come, therefore, let us enjoy the good things that are here and make use of creation with youthful zest, the cult of youth. Let us have our fill of costly wine and perfume, the cult of material possessions, and let no springtime blossoms pass us by. Let's taste all the good things of the world, yes, but not as an act of despair, not as an act of kind of fighting against the inevitability of death. Let us crown ourselves with rosebuds before they wither. Yes, they're going to wither. Let no meadow be free from our wantonness, from our immorality. Everywhere let us leave tokens of our merriment, for this is our portion, this is our lot. And let us oppress the righteous poor. Let us neither spare the widow nor revere the aged for hair grown white with time. Let's take advantage of people who are weaker than us. Let's get all we can by our power and our strength. This is really evil. This is really wicked. They're not thinking rightly. They're rightly judging that death can't be turned back. As it says in verse 5, our lifetime is the passing of a shadow, and our dying cannot be deferred because it is fixed with a seal and no one returns. Somebody's going to return. Somebody's going to return with a promise that biological death, that the temporal punishment due to sin can be overturned and not lead to the second death. Now, there's death one and there's death two. What can be changed is death two, the second death. But changing death two also changes our experience of death one, biological death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11 speaks of this second death. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death. What is the second death? People don't hear about the second death. All they hear about is the first death. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. For the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. The second death is hell for those who die unrepentant, idolaters who have given their life to falsehood, have given their life to immorality, have given their life to power over other people, who've given their life to dark powers and dark forces. Somebody has come back to tell us what the truth is about death. That someone is Jesus. When people were dying in the desert, way back in Moses' time, as a punishment for sin, poisonous serpents were released on the people of God, and thousands were dying. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make an image of the seraph serpent and mount it on a pole, and whoever looks at it after being bitten will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent, mounted it on a pole, and whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, this is a very strange incident. This is a very strange solution that God gave Moses for healing those who had been bitten by the poisonous serpent because of their sin. And one of the most amazing things about sacred scripture is how the sacred writers of the Old Testament, who probably didn't know exactly why they were writing certain things that God was inspiring them to write, as a matter of fact, was being placed in the sacred scriptures to prepare for its fulfillment in the new. You know, one of the common expressions, I think St. Augustine kind of said that St. Paul's Center for Biblical Studies often repeats that the new is hidden in the old, and the old is fulfilled in the new. And here we have a real case of it. So now let's take a look at its fulfillment in the new. John chapter 8. Jesus is having one of these terrible conflicts with the Pharisees, kind of really distressed about their hardness of heart, really distressed by their unbelief, really distressed by their bad will, really distressed by their perverted thinking. Like it talks about in Wisdom chapter 1, they weren't thinking rightly because their hearts weren't right towards God. And they says, they did not realize that Jesus was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am. And that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me." Jesus is here declaring himself to be God. "I am" is a sacred name of God that can't even be spoken by Jews. They talk about the Holy One. They don't speak his name, Yahweh. And here Jesus is saying, "I am." And of course, what happens is Jesus says, once he's lifted up, he's talking about being lifted up on the cross, just like the serpent was lifted up on the pole. And whoever looks upon him, whoever believes in him, whoever repents of their sin and their not right way of thinking and they're not the right way of acting and all the immorality that comes from the foolishness of atheistic unbelief, when people repent of that, looking on Jesus and believing in him and becoming part of his body and blood by taking his body and blood in the sacred Eucharist, wow, something really changes. What changes is the sting of natural death, the sting of the temporal punishment due to sin, dying is taken away. Dying isn't taken away. Biological death isn't taken away. We still need to take our medicine like a man, as they sometimes say. Take our medicine with courage, with fortitude, without whining or complaining. You know, so often Mary and the angel said of Fatima, "Accept the suffering that God sends to you. There's suffering in human life. There's suffering that comes through the sin of human beings. There's suffering that comes through the frailty of our bodies. It isn't like God has caused these things, but he makes use of these things. We've caused these things. Our allegiance to the devil has caused these things. Our rebellion against God has caused these things. But God makes use of these things that we've caused. God's made use of this evil that's come into the world, this death that's come into the world, this suffering that's come into the world to draw us into deeper union with himself. And not only that, he makes use of the very most hideous death a human being can imagine. He voluntarily undergoes the horror of those whom he's created, cursing him, mocking him, torturing him, spitting on him, stripping him naked. Yes, which leads us to the gospel message, the good news. What's the good news? Is that we don't have to give in to despair like those did in the Book of Wisdom. We don't have to just wallow in our agony like we talked about in Psalm 102. We have hope. What's our hope? What's the basis of our hope? The basis of our hope is that somebody has come back from the dead. And that person has broken the eternal hold that death and sin and the devil had on the human race. And that one who's come back from the dead was first lifted up on the cross. And we see now all over the world the cross, the sign of the humiliation of God and the sign of the love of God. John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, would not experience the second death, but would have eternal life. That's it in a nutshell. God loved us so much that even after we rebelled, even after we tortured and spit on his Son, he's offering us pardon. He's offering us mercy. He's offering us forgiveness. But it isn't imposed on us. He doesn't force us to escape the second death. He's giving us a chance. The chance is Jesus. The way that God is showing his love right now to the fallen human race, to the rebellious human race, to the lustful, greedy, oppressive, will-to-power human race, lying human race, fornicating human race, the way he's showing his mercy is Jesus. He's pointing to his Son, and he's saying to us today, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." If we do not listen to Jesus, if we do not listen to what the Father is saying about Jesus through the deeds that Jesus does and the words that he speaks and the testimony of the scriptures, the testimony of the saints, if we do not listen, we will be lost forever. We will be condemned forever because we've rejected the one that Jesus sent as our salvation. God so loved the world that he didn't leave us in our darkness, in our foolish thinking, in our blindness, in our rebellion, in our ignorance, in our addictions. He didn't leave us there, but he sent his only Son. But here's what we have to do. We have to look on the Son. We have to look at the price he paid for our salvation on the cross. And we have to allow the grace that flows from the cross to take away the darkness of our mind, the arrogance and pride of our will, and accept the grace to humble ourselves and say, "Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. I have not been thinking rightly. I have not been acting rightly. Have mercy on me, Lord. Give me the grace. Pardon me, Lord. Deliver me from death row. Deliver me from the death row of those lined up for the second death. Rescue me, Lord." And he will. We go on in John chapter 3 to hear more about what the Son will do for us. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. He doesn't want us to be on death row. He doesn't want us to experience a second death. But in order that the world might be saved through him, those who believe in him, and we're talking about an obedient faith. We're talking about a faith that's really not just a one-time decision, "I believe in Jesus and going on with a life," but a decision that really understands what it means to say yes to Jesus. What it means to say yes to Jesus is to become his disciple, start paying attention to his teaching, allow him to renew the thinking of our mind, allow him to heal the disordered passions of our soul, bring us more and more into harmony with the purpose that he had for creating us in his image in the first place. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And the condemnation here is eternal condemnation. The condemnation here is the second death, the lake of fire. And this is the judgment, verse 19. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. It takes humility. It takes courage to say, Lord, this is the wicked things I've been doing. This is the foolish way I've been thinking. This is how I've been misusing my power, my influence, my money for my own self rather than for the good of your kingdom in a way that glorifies you. I pray right now that those who are listening right now who have not believed in Jesus in this kind of obedient way, who have not made this kind of surrender to allow the Lord to renew our thinking and heal the disordered passions of our hearts and soul, that you would accept the grace. The Word of God has power. I'm speaking to you the Word of God today. It has power to deliver you from darkness, from pride, from arrogance, from fear, and to allow you to kind of cast yourself humbly on the mercy of God, and you're going to see wonderful things start in your life, but it is just a start, but you got to start. This is what I had to do when I was a senior at the University of Notre Dame. I was not thinking rightly. I was not acting rightly. I was proud. I was arrogant. I was angry. I was searching for happiness and love, and I was departing from the faith. I was a little bit like those people in Wisdom 2 who weren't thinking rightly and were heading in the wrong direction. And then the Lord had mercy on me, and a friend insisted I make a weekend retreat called the Curcio. And on that Curcio, I began to feel the Word of God and the grace of God beating on the closed walls of my heart and breaking through the false thinking and the pride and the arrogance. And finally, on the last morning of the retreat, Sunday morning, I was able, through the grace and mercy of God and for the prayers and sacrifices of other people, I was able to say, I give up. You are the Lord. Somebody has come back from the dead, and it's you. And it's you, Jesus, who are in this room. It's you, Jesus, who are speaking your word through the people who are giving talks. It's you, Jesus. And you are the Lord. You are not just a man. You are not just a moral teacher. You're not just somebody who works miracles. You are the Lord. And I'm in the presence of the Lord. And the only sensible response to make to the Lord is unconditional surrender. If you haven't unconditionally surrendered to the Lord, please do. If you haven't even come to the initial stages of belief in the Lord, please do. We are all on death row. We're all on death row for natural death. And that's okay. That's our punishment. We need to take it. We need to accept it. We need to join our suffering in this life, on this world, and the suffering of dying biologically in union with the suffering of Jesus. But for somebody who's dying in the Lord a natural death, a just punishment for our participation in the rebellion of the human race, Scripture says, the bitterness of death is taken away. The sting of death is taken away because Christ has conquered, and we will conquer death through him. It says all those who are part of Jesus and have the Spirit of God in them that Jesus places in us through holy baptism and the sacraments of the Catholic Church, all those who have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise us from the dead. We're going to participate in the resurrection. We're going to be rescued from death row. Can't be rescued from death row for death one. Don't want to be. That's our rightful punishment. But man, we really want to be rescued and pardoned from death two. We really want to be liberated from death row for death two. And that can only happen through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is having mercy on you today. Honestly, anybody can be saying this. I'm saying it. This is for you. This is now. Share it with a friend. If you have a friend who needs to hear this, share it with a family member. If there's a family member who needs to hear this, but let's rejoice that somebody has come back from the dead and is willing to bring us back from the dead in a glorious resurrection on the last day. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.